And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 174.
174?
Yes. Ooh. Getting really? Out there. Hey, I'm Sasha Lindenstein.
Hey, I'm Samantha Run.
And we are your hosts for the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Welcome, to Black and a Half. And our guest today is, author and comedian Amos Mack. Amos, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that was we did a deliciously fun hour with Amos and talked about his new book, Daddy Can't Count to 10, right?
Why Daddy Can't Count to 10?
Why? I know why. I know why.
He's a dummy. That's why. Daddy.
This great book that is now, it's available now, right? On Amazon?
Yes, it's available now on Amazon.
On Amazon. And I believe you go to some of his shows as a comic, you might be able to get
one. Yes. Well, not the next show, but yes. I'm actually getting some author copies later on next week. Okay. Next week I'll have them, and they'll be available at my shows.
So keep an eye out for that. If you can catch Amos on one of his comedy shows, you can pick up that in person, or maybe buy it on Amazon and then bring it to the show and have him autograph
it. I'll sign it.
That's right.
He'll
use
for free.
Four of his good fingers to sign that.
I could do that
if you want, or your mouth. Okay. I don't know, whatever.
Well, put my mouth on it. Okay, all right, like a little kiss,
Oh, it's a children's book. Let's keep it clean.
Whoa, kisses are good for people that are kids too. Kiss your kids. What are you talking about, naughty man?
I don't know.
Naughty. It's like a nerdy and naughty episode. Isn't
I withdraw.
It?
I only show affection to my children when they've earned it by cleaning, or doing chores.
I show affection to my kids all the time.
Yeah,
I say kids, tomato. I only have one.
I'm lying. I'm too affectionate to my. Hey, awesome having Amos on here. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter, any of those. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It'll help this podcast get seen by lots of people. Leave a comment. Tell us a favorite part about Amos. What did you like about this episode? I don't know. Leave a snippet. And of course, our Patreon subscribers, big thank you to them. You too can become a Patreon supporter. For just as little as $1 a month, become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners, or you can become an Inner Circle member like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Be one of them and help support the show for just a little bit. Just a little bit. You can also check out my podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That's another way of supporting the show. Go to yourbuyingahome.com where I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation. And you can check out.
Yeah, you can also check out my other podcast. I'm a little bit of a little hiatus from it right now, but there's still episodes out there.
You're in a season break, is what we call it in the business.
Season break. Yeah.
you finished season one. That's what we call it. Okay.
Yeah. Beyond Technique. You can listen to that where you listen to your podcast or watch it on YouTube. I've got various creatives on it. We get into talking about technique, talking about the way that it can enrich and empower your lives. Lots of really good stuff out there still.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's those podcasts, but this is this one. So right now I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to number 174, Amos Mack, and Why Daddy Can't Count to 10.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Prosper. Samantha, you probably don't have this problem, but Amos, do you shave? Do you shave at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have, you
I shave the, about once a week.
Okay. Have you had the problem though, like with masks, having to wear masks? Like I just stopped shaving as much as I used to. And so now then I'll forget that I haven't gone out without a mask. And then I'll look at, like, I'll be recording and be like, oh crap, I didn't shave in days. Like, you don't have that?
No. My face gets itchy, and I don't like that, so I shave on a regular mask or not. And I use different types of masks for work. Sometimes, you know, the surgical mask, walking around kind of mask. Yeah. But when I'm welding, I have a like more of a 3M particulate type of mask.
You have to wear a mask when you're welding?
Yeah.
I would think
there's fumes.
I would think that
there's fumes.
For fumes. Okay,
that stuff is deadly. I don't. Well, I don't do it for the COVID. I do it because it's toxic.
I guess that explains why our my scenic stage, the scenic manager of my theater shop, who welded a lot. I guess that's maybe why he didn't make it so long.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, seriously, a lot of guys don't want to wear it because they're stuffy or whatever. But it's a lot of carcinogens in it.
I didn't think about that. I did a little welding in college on the scene shop, but they didn't have us. They never told us to wear anything.
Ignorance, because they would have to pay for the filters and masks.
Yeah, probably.
So if they don't tell you, then they don't have to get it.
Wow. God.
Oh my God.
Oh no, because in college they should have made a big deal about safety and MSDS. Mm-hmm. You know, material safety and data sheets.
Yeah.
So they have a breakdown on what the carcinogens are on any type of structural. I mean, industrial chemicals.
Yeah. I bet it was probably up somewhere. It was probably other safety things that they're like, well, yeah, if you want, you can do it.
Yeah, if you have to. You don't have to, but if you do, you know, yeah.
Like, they're in college. They're like, no, we're not going to have to deal with you later, whatever.
Hey, that's going
to
be fine. Theater, don't worry about it. You'll theater be fine. Guy?
Yeah, you're probably going to die of smoking, so who cares?
You just need the credits to graduate. You're not going to do anything. Yeah.
Samantha, did you ever do scene shop work? Did you have to?
Yeah, but I did like scene painting.
Okay. Come on, weld. Come and do some welding.
No, I didn't do welding.
We only did welding, honestly, because we had a couple.
Welding. Yeah. I can't help like just thinking about Flashdance. Wasn't she like a welder who wanted to go to Juilliard, right?
Yeah.
And then I remember always being so mad that during the romantic scene, they're running across the train tracks. And I just remember being so mad, like, that's not safe. This isn't romance. Why are you being so reckless?
Wait, really about you. So clearly you've never run across tracks with a significant other at night.
No,
it is kind of romantic. It's like dangerous. It's, you know, and then you find that spot and then you start making out and stuff. Yeah.
You know what? I guess everybody has their thing, but like for me, danger doesn't like rev me up. That's like danger.
Are you sure?
No, danger isn't.
You never were like making out in
the
car.
She lives in Kirkland. Like, of course she's not. That's not.
You never made out in a car worried about the police coming, you know, or making out with somebody in the house and knowing your parents are coming and you just like the anticipation of getting caught by the parents.
That is not a thing for me.
No.
I know a lot of people like the whole like, oh, you can get caught. It makes it more exciting. I'm like, no, thank you.
I don't think that thing was only exciting for me if we didn't plan it. Like I couldn't do that as a planned thing. Like, oh, when they're gone, it was like if a spontaneous thing happened, they're like, oh shit, this is happening. And, oh, it's danger.
Wait.
That, but not like, Silas, hey, let's go plan some danger. No.
No, you've got kids. There's always a danger of getting caught.
Well, that's
always.
True. Yeah, they're asleep. What time? How much time we got till they wake up?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know when they're going to bust in for no good reason. Or, you know, they always knock, always knock. Then suddenly, when you're banging it out, that's when they bust in. Yeah.
You know, I'll say I'm not as scared. My kids are well behaved and they won't actually get out of bed until they're told to, usually.
Aw.
It's more what I'm afraid of is it ruins it for me if I hear the daddy that I'm done. Like I can't. Oh. I
you know, as a single man going hooking up with single moms, yeah. That that messes me up too. Be at a strange woman's house and daddy, oh, I'm not your dad. I'm out.
I want some water.
Softy time. I'm out.
I want water. And you're like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Kids like, and I want another 5 seconds. I just want,
I like, however long. I'm most guys 5 seconds. Yeah. No. Gotta get some more strokes in. That does not help.
Boy. Yeah. Yo, Amos, I actually I don't know the date exactly, but you are one of my bigger memories in comedy is actually with you, because I remember when I was performing at Trevo, something our homeboy
up in Seattle,
Ashley Russian's room.
Yeah,
and I remember because you popped in because it was your birthday. And you wanted to do comedy on your birthday, so you popped up there. And I remember thinking, like, how cool that was. Like it was that you just chose, like, for your birthday, what you would love to do is go on stage.
Actually, that was part of my birthday. I actually, that particular one, I actually had a threesome earlier that day. And then I was just like, nothing could top this night better than doing comedy. So I had to find a place. And it was just like, this was the perfect day.
It was such an innocent, perfect day. Innocent memory until now.
It was an innocent memory for me too. Sorry, you found out about the other part.
Boy, drunk. But that took a lot to drag out of you there.
I forgot about it until you just brought it up. I was like, Trago. It was called Trago.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember now. Oh, so yeah. Because I think it was. It was something Spanish three place. Yeah. Because it was like only like it was a corner kind of triangular building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a threesome. Yeah, it was a taquito, a taco.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I had
a Taco Bell.
It was a three item combo. That was my version of a.
I know I had a carne asada that night. It was just
having some steak. All right.
Look, man, it was a manly of manly days for me. It was.
You were a different person then. You were more of a person, I guess. Well, there was more of you.
I was fatter.
No, you had more fingers.
Oh yes, that's true. I did have more fingers back then. What? Yes, you are correct. Yeah,
Amos has the high four is his logo now.
The high four is your logo.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my logo. Yeah, I should be wearing some merchandise right now.
Right, four horsemen.
But I didn't want to.
Big fan.
four horsemen, four fingers.
He was that was a welding, right? Was that a welding accident?
No, it was actually a connecting accident. See, I'm an iron worker, so we not only weld, we will connect the big steel. Okay. And I was connecting some big steel at an Amazon building in Kent. And it was like the third day on the job right before lunch. I made some bad choices thinking I was the toughy of the toughies and thought I could beat the steel. I could be faster and stronger than the steel. And I wasn't.
Yeah.
The steel won. Yeah. I was literally between, it was like just a scissoring of two very thick pieces of steel and crane involved. Oh, I've got pictures. You never seen the pictures?
I scrolled past them when you put them up, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Sometimes on the anniversary, I'll post them. Sometimes I don't. But always on demand. Yeah, because I had some kids were like asking about it, and I was like, "Here's the picture." They're like, "Oh, we shouldn't." Yeah, well, you know, you challenged the wrong guy.
Right. Yeah.
I will show you some pictures.
I will say, and that was another part I admired about you was this. I think there's a lot of people who would see that or take that moment, and they wouldn't. I don't know. Run with it. Like you just. You're like, well, I'm not gonna hide this, and I'm gonna sell shirts about it. Like, I'm gonna, like you.
Well, it's the whole situation was crazy because it was one of those everything could have gone wrong days.
Yeah,
because it was like a third day on the job, you know, and as an older guy trying to connect with younger guys half my age, it was like I was pushing myself. So it was like high temperatures out, hot summer day. And I was not in shape to do this. So it was like by the third day, I'm like, okay, I'm getting it. But it's like I had kind of a girlfriend at the time that, and she broke up with me after she found out about that. Oh, that job's too dangerous, you know? Oh, wait. No, that part gets actually worse. I'm not going to get into her.
After you got hurt?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because my job was too dangerous and she couldn't deal with that. But she would mess around with cops and do gunplay in bed. I'm just like, how is my job too dangerous when you're doing all that crazy nonsense?
Yeah, right.
It was weird. Yes.
In bed?
Yes. Like actual gun.
Ooh, naughty.
Around face and being spanked with stuff like that. It was just like, yeah, I'm not that dude. What? So she did me a favor. She did me a favor, gosh. Bro. No.
That's crazy.
No, I will not get into the details of this. Right. I will not get into the details of this. But just say she was a little off.
Yeah.
And her danger was too much for me, but my danger was too much for her.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then I was my friend was in from Korea to visit, and I was supposed to meet her up at the airport. Couldn't because I was at the hospital, and then it was like one of those custody days. Because at the time, my son's mom was alive, and it's like we're sharing custody. But it was like, I don't care if I lost a finger today. This is my day. This is my day to have my kid. I'm not giving up any days, you know. So it was like a bunch of stuff like that happening.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it was a very, very memorable day. And then when I posted the picture of it, there were so many comments of different comedians that. There was some pity, but some people were just talking mad trash, and it was just too funny not to play along with it, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because it was just like, it was, hey, look what happened to me at work, and then trash was coming in, and I'm like, I'm playing back, and then I'm like, wow, this could actually be material. This could actually be something, you know? Because it's not coming back, you know? Right. The finger's not coming back. And so then I did a set with the stuff on it, and then just funny things were happening. So it was just like, yeah, I couldn't ignore the thing, you know, couldn't ignore the fact that this was a bad choice and, you know, I'm paying for it and everybody else seen it. I saw it. So it was just like the jokes were coming after that. And so now it's my logo. It's my part of my thing.
When it happened, was there any part of you that was like, guys, can you stop being a comic for a second and just like, I lost my fucking finger. Could everyone?
No.
A second. No,
no. There was a couple of girls that were doing that. Oh, this is bad. This is, you know, it's like they were doing it. And I seen how they were whining over it and they weren't even hurt. I'm just like, okay, I'm definitely not doing that. You know? But it was just too funny. It was. Yeah. Cause it was just like, you know, it's like when you trip, you know, and you know you tripped over your own feet and it's just funny. Yeah, yeah. You could have got hurt whether you fell or whatever. You know, it's more funny than it is painful. I don't know if it was the embarrassment or whatever, but it's just that breaking of tension that just makes it hilarious. And that's what it was for me. And I've never felt diminished, even though I am. But then I started finding out so many more people know people or different situations where they've had messed up fingers or lost fingers, some in the weirdest ways. So it's like, I actually have been able to connect with people over this, disability, not disability, you know?
Do you get a plaque for your car?
No, no.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
That doesn't stop me.
Any benefits?
No, no. In fact, Elle and I will give a certain amount of money for lost digits.
Yeah.
The pinky is the least valued digit.
Yeah. No, I can see that. It's never gotten a lot of respect. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was going to the hand surgeon, he was telling me that there are people that do that on purpose, lose fingers on purpose to get the money. I'm like, you're joking. He said, no, I am not. I was like, no, come on. You got to be. No, I'm not joking. Yeah. And showed me some pictures. I'm like, oh, okay. You are not joking.
Ooh. Yeah, it's funny. My wife is on Elle and I right now because she had a patient fall on her and like hurt her shoulder. Might have a torn rotator cuff. She's not sure yet because they want you to like do PT before you get an MRI because an MRI is expensive.
Right. So, and then why not make the injury worse while you're at it?
That's what I was saying.
I know that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So.
Well, because so many people fake injuries.
And that's the thing. It's like she has to go through all these hurdles. Well, here's what I get. I was like, but enough people must not fake it to make it worth it, right? Because if they would just go get an MRI, that could solve a lot of, they would know right away if people were faking an injury just to get out. Because they could just like, oh, it hurts. I'll do 6 weeks of PT, then I'll go back before they get the MRI.
Well, sometimes with some people, that's enough for them to have a less workload, be on light duty, you know, get paid the same for doing less work. Sometimes that's enough for some of these
people. That's amazing to me.
Oh, no, I've worked with people like that where they just say that they're going to get hurt today and intentionally get hurt.
For real?
And then when you talk to some of the claims adjusters, it's like, oh, wow, there's lots of people like that. Yeah, there are lots of people like that. They've messed up the system. They've really messed up the system. And on top of that, you would think that the state would actually have some say in lowering the price. When they actually know how much it costs to actually get an MRI, they would make them lower the cost, at least for LNI. They don't even do that. You know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The healthcare system needs a total reform. Total reform. Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Oh, and when we're talking about my finger, I even wrote a book about.
Is it related to your finger? I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's all about it. The title of the book is Why Daddy Can't Count to 10. And so.
Wonderful. Okay, is this a children's book?
Yeah, it's a children's book.
It's not like. Samuel Jackson's Wake the Fuck Up, right?
I wanted to do something like that, but it's already been done.
Yeah.
And how am I going to do that with the thing? So I wrote the book because in my stand up, I talk about, you know, how I didn't know how to tell my son I can get hurt at work because he thinks I'm a superhero, you know? But I didn't think of the story, but I had the title at least, Why Daddy Can't Count to 10 Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So after 6 years of not having a finger and telling that joke, I actually finally wrote the book. And then after talking with a couple of friends, they were like, oh, it should be a kid's book because, you know, some kids don't know how to deal with, you know, some kinds of loss. So there's simple little lessons in there. And it's especially from me, it's just like, really? You doing a clean children's book, bro? Yeah, right. I can do that. I can do that stuff. Yeah. I just choose not to have my comedy like that because it's more funny to be vulgar. I get more fun out of being vulgar on my stand up, but I can do clean.
Hey. Tell me, the book, is it, so it deals with loss? It deals with.
Yeah. It deals with loss. So it's like, what I would have imagined my son dealing with. He didn't deal with it this way, but it's my imagination of him doing it. It's like, you know, how do you lose a finger? You know, and then it has like pictures of him like looking around under things for where's his finger at, you know? And then different instances that I don't say in my stand-up that are part of, that are funny from the story, but I don't do it in my stand-up. So I put it in the book. So that's
cool. How'd you find did you illustrate it yourself too?
So my son fancies himself an artist. Mm-hmm. And when I first was telling him about the idea, he was like, all right, I'll do the pictures. And I was like, all right, perfect. Father, son team. This is going to sell like hotcakes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, he was like, nah, I don't want to do it, Dad. And wait, I was literally waiting. He's 14 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're coming up on 15. Coming up on 15. But it was just one of those things where it's just like he wasn't as confident with his art, but it was like it doesn't matter, bro. It doesn't matter. It could be the most terrible stick figures, you know? But it's gonna sell, period. Just because it's father and son, we're both brown, you know, I saw it at the comedy shows, it's gonna work. but he didn't want to do it. And I was actually waiting a good year for him to try to do it, but he wouldn't do it. So I was like, okay, I got to find a place that'll do it. And so I got on Fiverr, found some of the shit. Yeah. First person I found, I didn't understand the system, and terrible artwork, not consistent.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of money out of me, and I was just like, nothing I can do about it. But I found a guy that was like a third of the price, and did some simple illustrations, and that's just it. And it took him like 4 days to finish it. Because wow. I had the story. I've had the story for a while.
So do they, I don't know if I can ask this.
You can ask whatever you like.
I know, right? Do you have to, when you sell your book, do you have to still give them a percentage, or it's like a one-time fee for Fiverr? How does it work? Or it depends on the illustrator.
It's part work. Yeah. It's just like, I paid him for the illustration. He did the illustration. They're mine.
Yeah,
I bought the rights with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, Samantha, usually options that you can just say, like, I'm buying commercial rights, or, and that's a little extra than if you were just doing it, like, to give your spouse, like, a present, right? Because you don't need commercial rights for that. So, yeah, it depends. And some would, you know, some fancier people might say they want royalties, but they usually don't on Fiverr. They might just be really expensive.
That's like, so awesome.
Right. Yeah, there are some people that are super expensive, but their art looks... It's phenomenal. Like if I wanted more anime style, you know, but maybe on another book, just definitely not this particular one. I mean, I've got a couple other book ideas. So I'm going to work on those, and I might change up the art, but this just needed to be simple, just to go along with the joke. But then after I got it, and then cause I doing self-publishing through Amazon.
Yeah.
Cool.
They want royalties. So I've got a digital copy and physical copy. And when I started getting into it a little bit more, I'm like, wow, I can actually make some.
Did you send it to agents at all?
No.
You tried to?
I didn't because I didn't want to complicate it. I didn't want to complicate it with a lot of things. Maybe I could, but it's like if I could just do it myself and keep my overhead low and keep more control over it, why not?
Yeah. You know, some publisher might actually, even still you've done it, they can always end up buying it, like want to go like, hey, let's mass distribute this. This is a really good.
Oh, that's true. But yeah. I mean, who's bigger than Amazon right now?
HarperCollins. Random House.
Okay.
Yeah. They're bigger.
No, I mean, I've got a list of things. I've got a list of publishers that are bigger than Amazon, bro. Okay.
Where did your 5 turn to a 4 again? You were welding where? For what building? Or you weren't welding?
There's an irony there, right?
Right?
Yeah.
When my 5 went to a 4.
Yeah, because weren't you saying you're working on an Amazon building?
Yes. Yes, I was.
And now you're publishing through Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're just looking for connections. You're just looking.
It was just right there. Yeah. And also, Silas always says, like, I'm a callback.
Yeah, she's a callback queen.
I can't help it. You know, I'm just paying attention. That's all.
You did. Yeah, you did do that. But, you know, not until this year. So for the past 5 years, it was not a coincidence.
Yeah.
Not until now.
Yeah.
Is it
right? Right. Yeah,
but also, you know, because Amos, I could see this going to also psychologists around the country of that work with
therapy. I like your vision.
That's why I'm partly like, oh, you need an agent. Like, this could be a big thing. Assuming it's well written. I'm assuming because you're a good joke teller.
The only typo was actually on the cover in the artwork. That's the only actual typo. So we'll see.
Kind of funny.
We'll see how it goes.
Did it say, why daddy can't count to 10 or spell in parentheses?
No, it's like can't. Doesn't have an apostrophe on it. And so, yeah, daddy can't count. He can't spell. Where did this book come from? I wrote this shit because my dad can't. He doesn't know how many pages. I had to read my dad this shit because he can't do nothing. I pay the bills in this bitch because I'm the daddy. Look at me. I'm the daddy now.
Exactly. Man, I hate the typos. It's so... I hate, like, and then especially sometimes feel like when you're trying to be the most careful and you like look over it and you just, when you know what the word is, sometimes it's like,
yeah,
I publish a monthly newsletter. And sometimes,
oh, really?
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, I can't believe it gets printed and I get it home and it's the first thing I see. And I was like, I looked at this 20 times.
Yeah.
My wife read that. It. My wife proofed this. I proof after her. How did we friggin' miss that? Or like forgot to change the month on the template. Right. And I still said, I'm like, oh, son of a, really? And I put like a list of a bunch of holidays for the month. I forgot to change September to October, or like, okay, fine.
Well, I had several people proof mine too, because I miss stuff like that too. I'm not a grammar dude, really. I had to have other people that, you know, do it, and then actually find another person on Fiverr and, hey, proof this.
You know what? I did a joke for so long because Amos laughed at it in Olympia once on a show, and he loved the joke. Other people found like that one, but no, I used to say like, I don't like to use, I'm smart, but I don't like to use big words. I think it's pretentious. And you started laughing and I kept doing it. And like, I almost felt like nobody ever laughs like Amos laughed at that joke.
I don't know who else does jokes. Like, I mean, but those witty puns, I love witty puns. And it's like, when you said it the first time, I was like, how does nobody else get this? How did nobody else get this?
I was like, oh no, Amos got it. Like, okay, this is a solid joke, man.
It is a solid joke. I mean,
it never works like it did when you like you like gave me the confidence that no, this is fucking gonna work, and I kept it longer than I'll throw it out there.
But yeah, I'm glad you keep it because anybody that's paying attention, you know, and that's the trouble with smart jokes because too many dummies don't get the stuff.
Well,
like
and bars, right? It's hard. Like they're
and the bars too because they're not paying attention.
They're not a fart joke or something.
Yeah. Yeah, dick. Whoa, yeah, I masturbate too. Yay! You know, but do you remember Hook, right? When Smee was introducing the captain and he was like, he's so deep, he's unfathomable. And everybody's like, huh? That's what that I don't use big words because it's pretentious. That's there's no depth to my shallowness. Yeah, you know, those kind of jokes are just, I mean, if you're not paying attention, it's going to slip right by you, you know? And I just love it. I don't.
I did actually start using that joke as a tester to see where I should go, like when I was on the road.
Yeah,
like
makes sense.
I would do that early on to see how much they're paying attention how quick they are. And if they didn't get it, I was like, okay, fart jokes. All right, I'm going to.
Yeah, you know, because there was comedian like I can't think of her name. I follow her on Twitter because she just makes me laugh because just her verbiage is just right on point. But the first time I ever saw her, she was on performing up in Seattle at the Parlor in Seattle, and a white lady in between two black comics, and it was Sean Wayans and Will Silvins.
Okay,
and it was just like, why would they think she would fit with that group?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Will Silvins was the funniest out of all of them, and I still love his comedy.
Yeah.
But he's like fast paced, you know, urban humor, you know, and she's, you know, very slow, very witty, you know, he's got double entendres on top of puns on top, you know, and it's like people are not getting, I'm sitting there laughing my butt off, you know, and people are like, I'm like, how are you not getting this? I'm with comedians, and I'm like, how are you not? Are you drunk? Are you too drunk to pay attention? How are you missing this? How are you missing this? You know, that's my trouble, I guess. You know, I love wordplay. I just absolutely love wordplay. Yeah, and I got a little bit in the book, and I'm keep on doing that every time.
Nice.
I'm gonna call back my book all the time.
That's fine.
Yeah, because it starts off like rhyming and wordplay, and I even have this part where I kind of give homage to a friend of mine that passed away, talking about how, you know, my dad doesn't act like he's a tough guy. He'll cry because he misses his friend, you know? So I've got stuff like that all throughout the book. It's really not me. it's not my usual thing.
Is it a side of you that you don't like to show? to,
you know, that's probably more accurate. That's probably more accurate. Just that the gentle spirit, how I talk to my son, because I talk to him in a way that I don't talk to most people. I'm very straight and honest with him, but I'm also kind. And I think about what I need to say. Most people, I just tell them what's on my mind because they don't need me to edit it. So you're getting this. But him, it's like, okay, how is he actually going to receive this? Will he understand this? How is he going to, you know? But the older he gets, and I'm just like, yo, dude, what are you doing?
You know, I didn't realize our kids were the same age.
So. Really?
Yeah.
My son's going to be 15 in November.
Okay. She's 14 now. She'll be 15 in March. So
okay,
freshman in college, freshman in high school, right?
I was like, wow, you got a smart kid. She in college? Wow.
No.
My kid's a freshman in high school. He's behind yours, clearly. Yeah. You got the blurred in full effect in your family, yeah.
And I know that you're a nerd.
No. I thought you were. No, I'm more geeky than nerdy. Nerdy is more scholastic in my opinion.
Okay.
I used to be more scholastic and more caring about, you know, algebra and higher math, but not so much anymore.
So geeky, just more in that you like, things, or
very, very much. But I'm still, I don't want to say closeted, but I'm at the level where it's like I know a lot about certain things. Huh? Was it?
You're on the down low with the?
No, I'm not on the down low, but it's just like, I don't like engaging with people because they'll be like, oh, I'm such a nerd for like people do like the Wakanda Forever. And I'm like, oh, did you know that? And I'll test them with some knowledge. And it's like, oh, you're only Black Panther because of Chadwick Boseman, not like Black Panther that's been around since the 1960s.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, I should be quiet. No, sounds like, well, you can't say Wakanda Forever unless if you've been there from like...
No. What I'm saying is when you have an African man come up to you, Wakanda Forever, and you're like, oh, you love Black Panther. They're like, no, we're just both Black. And I'm like...
Well, okay. So I was just saying that because... So in the past, one of my coworkers, and he was one of the other Black employees there. And like at the meeting, sometimes we just look at each other and we just be like, God, like all side, you know, but we both saw the show and loved it. But like, I don't know, like the other comics and stuff.
And so that's why it's like my geekiness is not display for everyone because the movies have messed up the geekiness for me. But I'm still super happy that they've done them. But it's like just because you like the whichever TV show or whatever movie doesn't mean you're down for it all the way. So I have to subdue my geekiness.
Yeah. My brother's he told me he was a big Batman fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big fan of the Christopher Nolan Batman, you know, like he likes that, I'm also fine with it. It's like, I'm okay that he wants to play sort of in my, you know, wheelhouse a little bit. Like it's somewhere we can connect. Cause then I'm like, well, look, I liked the Batman TV series. I would watch that on Saturday mornings. And that was
boom,
garbage. Bow. Yeah. That's nothing like Batman today. Nor is it like Batman comics, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't even like the comics were. Like it was weird.
But the comics weren't even like the comics. Come on. It's like they're not even introducing alternate timelines and you've got 17 different Batman stories. Right. I'm like, yo, is he dead or is he alive? Come on. Yeah. Is he dead or is he alive? Is his back broken or is he not back broken?
Right.
Right. So, okay. So we're on the same page with that. It's like, but it's more like, you have your slow cousin that likes what you like, but you have to like, okay, yeah, you like that. I like it too. We both like ice cream.
That's what I am like to Silas on some of this stuff for sure. Cause like with the Batman, I'm like your brother with the Christopher Nolan ones. Like, I went when the third one was coming out and I was living in LA at the time and there was a theater that was doing like the showing all three of them. So you could, you know, then, well, yeah. So, I mean, I'd seen the first two, but not the third one, but we went to the theater and watched like all three of them in that one sitting. And it was so awesome. I mean, I didn't like the third one, but you know, and then Robert Pattinson one is coming out now, and not now, but soon. And
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the stuff you just have. I mean, I take it with a grain of salt. It's like, okay, this is just entertaining.
Yeah,
and it's good to have this visual for this thing that I've been imagining half of my life.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I stopped is that what going you to Comic Con.
Sorry.
The whole wait waited all of my life had it all because of you.
I had the time of my life.
I
mean, it's WPF, so I don't know it, so I have just deal with it anyway. The threesome was awesome. I had more than one, but that happened to be a great birthday. That happened to be a fantastic birthday.
There is a, and I understand, I think there is a possession ship, I think, of these nerddoms, these geekdoms that I do feel like people now, even more so now, are upset that, well, they're happy these products are being made. They're like, wait, but I was an Iron Man fan before everyone else, and they but they have this feeling like they need to explain to you, like they need to be validated on how much of a hardcore one they are, and that you know, like I'm okay,
yeah,
like
then they're just the connecting.
I have learned over time to become way more accepting of people enjoying Star Wars and Star Trek. Like at this point I'm just kind of happy if they like anything of Star Wars. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
My brother doesn't like Star Wars because he thought it was boring. I said it.
It's for kids.
Right. But one thing I've learned too is like, I can't repeat the past. And some of these, like showing my daughter, having my daughter watch movies, like these big action movies that came out, she wants to see an action movie. And I'm like, okay, watch Die Hard here. This is groundbreaking. She goes, it's all right. And I'm like, oh right, are you kidding, they never did this before. And then I'm like, oh, so she's already seen movies that came after this that that kind of leapt on the back of that, so this is mild compared to what she's seen. So there's no way she can't live the experience I did of these coming up.
Right.
And I realize now when I introduce people to Star Wars, if they want to get to, if they're new, it kind of depends on what they're into.
Yeah.
Instead of introducing them to the first Star Wars, a lot of people.
But the first one that came out, or the first one in the series?
The first one that came out, New Hope.
Okay.
New audiences, like a 20-year-old, there's a good chance they could find it boring. But they might actually be entertained by Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi. I don't care what order they start in now. I'm like, whatever I can do to get you hooked.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Because if you like it, then you're going to go back. Used to think you had to watch it from the beginning. Until someone like pointed out to me. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I love that. But I didn't start watching
the TV series or the movie?
The TV series. The TV series.
Okay, go on.
I didn't start watching when it started airing, like the pilot episode, but I was also watching the new ones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is how did they get here? And so I get to see them come up to where it was. So, Star Trek. I didn't watch it in order. I never watched Star Trek in order. Whatever was playing.
Well, you know, I know. How could
after
you?
It came out,
you're too young.
It didn't matter, right? So I don't know why for some things I thought they need to watch it in the order that it came out. But they're not going to have the experience I am. The most I can hope is that they like it and they will research the rest of it.
I do get what you're saying with that because I've done that with my son. But it was a learning experience for me too. But I've done that with him with comedy and action movies because I took him to one of the Terminators. Then I was like, no, you got to see the original, you know, and then show him the original. And he's like, oh my God, the special effects are terrible. What is that? It's grainy. What did they do this on 8mm? What, you know, so I'm like, you are such a critic right there.
Their phone shoots better than the Terminator did, right?
Their
phone is better graphics.
And it kind of kicked me in the butt because this is like, he was not entertained at all. But I get it. I get it. But it was just like, but look at the tech. And so I was like, but here's a story. And that's why I know when you bring it back, it's like, because you want them to know the whole story. Like you got the whole story.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's totally understandable. Cause if you like this, then you're going to love this from the beginning. Right. Now this will make sense if you do this. That's if they love it. And then you can actually have discussions on it. Right. And it's like that connection. Cause I have thousands of comics that are collecting dust because my son is not interested in it. But but when I got him into anime, now he knows way, way more about it than I do. Mm-hmm. And so now he's sharing things with me. And it's another thing we can connect on because he just has more time to not only watch it and watch the manga or read the manga. And then he talks to all these, listens to all these YouTubers that have their opinion and their thing. And then, you know, so now it's such a huge genre where people are making a living off of their stupid opinion on something that's already there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's hard to compete with that. So it's like, I'm in the middle of my geekiness. I know enough to enjoy it. I know how to have a conversation with somebody that's into it. And I know how to leave people alone if they only saw this one thing.
Yeah.
You know, or they just like the shirt. They like the shirt. You know, I don't even, there's only one thing that I will talk to somebody on if I see them wearing any paraphernalia for it. And that's Doctor Who. If you have anything Whovian, or you got the phone box or anything that says TARDIS, okay, I will go out of my way to say something to you because that's not something that caught on to everything.
Right.
Everything else is blown up all over the place, but my niche things or Firefly, you know, certain things like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, 'cause I love the sci-fi, you know, I love the anime and I love the cartoon stuff, but within measure. I still like the stuff that not everybody's into. And I'm almost turned off by stuff, but I love watching it to watch it. And in fact, when all the comedians were getting on all the Comic Cons, I'm just like, you guys are all fake. I don't care about you guys. I'm not even telling you that I'm into comic books and that you're wrong about what you're saying right now. Yeah. I didn't even get into that. Yeah.
I feel attacked.
You might be a little bit, because I know you had a writing show, didn't you?
Yeah, but I put Actual Nerds on.
Yeah, but I didn't even try to get on any of it because I was like, you guys, we've had lots of conversations. You guys aren't really into it, but I also didn't know you very well at the time, so that would have been a different thing.
I even try to get people a little nerdier than me on it.
Really?
Yeah, because I like, there's some deep level stuff that I don't know.
Right. Well, yeah, but I don't think we should be picking apart, you know, an episode of Star Wars like there's a college class on Picasso. It's not the same thing, you know.
These shows,
yeah, their ears were not in different places.
Yeah,
but these comic.
Why are you talking about that's people with missing shit? You know, people have feelings. If they're missing an ear, a pinky, whatever.
Missing. I just said it wasn't in the right place.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Where was it? Where was it then, huh? Where was it if it wasn't in the right place?
It was like...
Not on his face, huh? Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, called that queen.
What was I say?
I see a new book in your future.
One of the things I love about doing the Real Nerds of Comedy show, because then hopefully it's coming back again in December at the Comic-Con, is it is such a celebration and love of these geekdoms together, like a shared experience. It's the only time that I would do jokes where the setup gets the laughs, but before the punchline, because
everybody knows. They know what's coming.
They're like, oh my god, that's right. Like people, things that they get a level of it, and people could do. Mm-hmm. They could do some TARDIS joke that I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what you meant by that. But the audience is dying. They get it.
Right.
And it's just such a shared love of the culture and of these things that I'm just, I like being part of that. And that's why I'm okay. Like, I can do some, you know, you've got a better Game of Thrones set than I do. Like, let me have, you can come in and do that one and get those people.
That makes sense. And it's like, I know I didn't mean to be more like attacking. It was just more like my, because it's like, I don't know if you remember Comic-Con before the movies, where it was just like, you see the few people, you got to see the writers, you got to get your book signed, you got to find the comics that you were looking for forever, and you got to talk to this shop owner, that shop owner, and it was just a small community that you could just deal with. And
all of a sudden, not paying assholes for autographs. Started popping out. I remember not paying for autographs.
Yes.
Or pictures. Yes. I could just lean in. Hey, can we get a picture? Sure. Hey.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
Bates McFadden.
Yeah.
I have her autograph for free. I have her a picture I had somewhere going, hey, James Marsters. I got a picture with him. When we go to Star Trek conventions and Buffy people are there, right? It's like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, and that's when I really, really liked the geekdom back then.
No, I could see that.
And because it was just genuine. Now it's just like, oh, this is the end thing. Let's all do it. Well, or like, I like Sakutacon too, before it was popularized too. Mm. I would go to those too. And it was just like, wow, this is awesome. Okay. The anime here. And then all of a sudden everybody else find out about it. And it's like, ooh, you got this, girl scantily clothed. Let's go to it. You know, I was like, oh, you guys just messed it all up. Pervs.
You know, the first
don't get me wrong, I'm a perv too, but it's like you guys messed it up. So.
The first couple Emerald City Comic Cons here, there was the comics who were doing it, who like maybe one was actually kind of geeky, nerdy. The others, like I was encouraged to apply because they said they're just making fun of everyone in the room. It's not nice. Like, this is not a nice thing that they're doing.
That was the other thing,
and,
too.
And so I was someone encouraged. I was like, I was thinking of applying. And they're like, they said, you really should, I think, would be considered. Because right now it's a bunch of people who don't really seem to like anyone there. you know, like, don't make fun. And I have to tell, like, I would have to tell some folks who I'd have on, say, like, don't make fun of them smelling or... of them being overweight.
No, you have to do that.
They don't.
If you can afford comics, you can afford a shower.
You know, it's true. It is true.
That's all I'm saying. We got little deodorant, yeah. and that's why nobody ever thought of me, you know, and that's why I always hated the blurred thing. Cause it's like black people were never nerds. Okay. We're just black people that like some other stuff. You know, because you could be the nerdiest black dude and you were still the coolest out of whoever you were with just because of your skin tone. And so suddenly, you know, blurred is the and I saw like my nephew doing that. I'm just like, really, dude? Why are you doing that? Why? I'm the one that introduced you to this stuff. Why are you doing this, man? You know, and now he's acting like he invented, you know, anime. And I was like, no, I introduced it to you. You introduced it to your friends, and now they all talk about it. Okay, little punk.
That's cool.
But anyway,
okay. Anyways, before we're done here,
We're almost done already.
We're almost done, yeah.
So you can get my book on Amazon.
We'll get that. We'll get the intro.
Oh, we're gonna get to it. Okay.
We talked about it a little, but. Before I go, I got to ask you, because there's the first time someone comes on the show, there's 7 questions that we like to ask them. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go, which one is the black and which one is the half? Because you guys are both very light.
You know what? It's more of a state of mind.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
We're both black. And actually, you are the black. And we are
I'm the black of this episode.
And we are the half. Yeah. Black and a half. It's like the show Girl. This Aisha Tyler has a show Girl on Guy, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes she would interview a guy. But sometimes she'd interview a girl. And I'm like, whoa, it's not called Girl on Girl. What's this bullshit? No.
That's true.
We still,
but I know the show's origins. You know, had a darker fellow.
We all have an origin story. You know, we would be on there. You know, and also I'm not willing to change the artwork to half and half. You know, I know.
Well, no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, fine. Half and half. That would be That would be funner.
There's a bunch out there still. So.
Oh yeah, never mind that.
I own the copyright to Black and a Half. I don't own the copyright to Half and Half.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, well, by the way.
Hold on. Yeah, we're not
thanks,
done.
Thanks for being, thanks for the lack of the episode.
We're not done.
I know we're not done, but I wanted to thank you again, during the podcast, before we got to those questions, for having me on. Because I've never, as long as you've had this podcast, I've never been on it. This is the first time
I know. In the 10 There's years you've had people this who podcast. Haven't been on it. Well, okay, it's 10 years, but if you count how many weeks there are and how many episodes, it's not a straight line of, it's not a weekly. Okay. But technically, it's a
radius. It's a radius. We might as well be nerdy about it. Yeah, it's a radius.
I don't know that we have the most episodes. I can just say that we are
probably the longest
currently running podcast. Until someone proves me otherwise, and then I'm going to say the longest running black podcast.
Yeah.
Or POC, whatever.
Uh-oh, somebody's sleepy.
I'll do whatever.
Look at you, sleepy heads.
I know.
Okay, so let me do this intro again.
Okay. Wait, you got to ask the questions, right? Okay.
I know, let me do this. Amos, before you go, there's always seven questions we like to ask somebody before the first time they come on. It's the world famous black and a half seven questions.
Okay.
And then the graphic rolls. Okay, now, number one. What are you most nerdy about?
I'm not a Scholastic nerd anymore, but I am geeky about anime and comics and science fiction. That's what I'm geeky about. I'm a little dorky about some science fiction, honestly. Like if you want to talk about Gallifrey and Doctor Who, let's get on it.
So you're nerdy about those. About Doctor Who, you dive deep into that.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll dive deep into that.
Like Diane Sawyer, digging in. Okay.
Yeah, you got the real truth.
Number two, what's something
fantastic?
What's something that you love to eat? I don't.
Banana bread.
No, I hate banana bread. I was going to say I ate some a little while ago, but I can't tell you what it is because it's naughty.
Oh my god!
I know. I know.
That was predictable.
I love to eat. Okay, no. How about this? My new favorite thing to eat is gelato. I got back from Italy a little while ago, and a genuine gelato is absolutely amazing.
Was that your first trip to Italy? I saw you posting about that.
It was my first trip to Italy, and it was 2 years. In the attempt at going. Some of it was my fault. Some of it was, lockdown.
Yeah. Oh. Was it scary?
No, it wasn't scary at all.
Or is it, how were they acting? Is it like?
They were acting like.
Is it the same as
you,
here?
You tourists are coming in my country and I'm going to get some money out of you. That's how they were acting.
Are they masked?
Yeah. It was. Kind of how it is right now, where it's like you got to be masked indoors, outdoors is fine, yeah, but you got to show vaccine, proof of vaccine or a clean COVID. So that, but all the national parks, national monuments, you had to have a vaccine thing. But in Europe, they've got it's all digital.
Yeah.
You just showed up on your phone, but I had to bring my card and show a picture,
Okay. So gelato. And so
gelato. Yes. We actually took a gelato making class.
Did you find
salted pistachio? It's my favorite.
Or did you have a pairing that was your favorite? I remember being told that gelato that I must have two flavors when I have it, that you shouldn't just eat one.
What were your two flavors? And did you go to Italy?
Yeah, years, a long time ago. But I remember them telling me, no, you're supposed to have two flavors when you order. You got to have them. It's the mix that is, I don't know.
Oh, what was your mix?
It was probably, it would be a mint of some sort. I always love mint. And then and then it would be chocolate something.
Mint and chocolate? That's not a pairing. That's just two things you like. A pairing is like, oh, when you have red meat, you have to have red wine. When you have white sauce, you have to have white wine. Okay, you pick that's two a that pairing. You like.
Okay, no, it's not. That's all it is. Okay, fine.
Oh, actually, I did make the mistake of two things that I liked because they had a delicious lemon gelato. And then they had a very, very delicious salted pistachio gelato. And I made the mistake of putting them in the same cup.
Yeah, that sounds nasty.
Oh, yeah.
That's, no, that was saying. That was terrible. I mean, well, the parts that weren't touching were delicious.
Yeah.
The parts that weren't touching, the parts that were touching, I still ate it.
Horrible, but still good.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, what is something that you love to drink?
Water.
It's water. Okay.
It's delicious.
Bottled? Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh, and that's another thing I loved about Italy. It's like they're offering you bubbles or no bubbles with your water.
Yeah.
But you're getting some water. Bubbles or no bubbles.
Mineral?
Yeah. Yeah, mineral. I love the mineral water.
Yeah.
That's how I knew I'm old, because I love mineral water.
Mineral water. Get your vitamins.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you love?
Ooh, depends on my mood, but my go-to will always be golden age of hip hop. That's my thing. So I would say from 1988 to 2010. Is the era that I love of hip hop. Other than that, I'm down with pop, or if I'm in a different kind of mood, then I do some classical. I love strings. If it's got cello in it, I'm down. It's mellow. What's
this? Did you play? You play the cello.
No, I'm bad at it. I mean, I was taking lessons.
I took some lessons a while back too.
Yeah, I'm not any good. I haven't played it in ages. But I love cello music. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about how much they love the cello. So that's what I was like.
Oh yeah. I will follow certain people that just play. I just love watching. Yeah.
What's something you love to create?
Well,
what do you love to create? Sorry.
That's a little bit tougher because I'm becoming more of a creative. So my favorite last thing that I created was this book.
Yeah.
This could, why Daddy can't count to 10 no more. It's probably my favorite thing. But I love creating an atmosphere of love and laughter. That's probably a better way to do it. Like if I'm able to make strangers laugh, I'm in heaven. There's nothing better for me than making people laugh. I love to create jokes that are timeless, that just break down the barriers. I mean, because that's the only true universal thing in this world is laughter. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at, where your background is, how racist you may be. If you can get a person to laugh, all of a sudden they're connected to you and you can't take it away.
That's pretty awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
What's a game you love to play?
Joke Killer.
Is that a board game?
Oh, yes. No, it's not a board game. It's something that I like to play in real life. If somebody's telling a street joke and you know the punchline, instead of being a nice person and letting them finish, I say the punchline halfway through, or if somebody, last night I was at a birthday party last night, and it's like a mixed group of race, but I would say half of it was white.
Right.
This one older black dude, he decided to start blacking it up, and he's like, yeah, come on, man. I was like, dude, stop. You're blacking it up. Calm down. Stop. I can't have my conversation over here. Cause I was talking about Italy, you know, with somebody else that went to Italy. And it's just like, there are other black people, partially black people, and we're not yelling. You can calm it down. And he was like, oh, come on now. I was like, look, joke killer right here. I'm killing it. No, stop. We saw this on Cosby, you know, so I started naming all the black shows that have a loud black person on it, you know. And so I do that. If somebody's doing some cliche bullshit, I'm shutting it down. I'm a joke killer. That's my favorite game. or if somebody wants to tell a bad joke or some joke that you think is borderline racist or offensive, I'm shutting that joke down. By asking dumb questions at the wrong times, you know, they start. Look at that. I'm so boring. Look at that, Sam. No.
She's a new, okay. She's a new mom.
I have a baby. She's a new mom, I'm so tired.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I'm happy to be here with you guys, but I can't. Once it's a certain time, I'm like non-city.
Oh no, it's past my bedtime too. Right. I go to bed.
Last question.
Okay.
In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, I do not have that kind of ego.
For not having that kind of ego?
Yeah, because okay, in 100 years, am I going to give two fucks?
You're kind of like, when I'm dead, I'm gone, whatever.
I'm dead, I'm gone, you know? But you know, I think the only thing, and I don't want to actually be remembered for it. I don't want my name to ring through, but everybody that I touch with jokes, that I get them inspired to do something different, to open their mind and not be so narrow-minded or myopic, that's the only legacy I really need. I mean, because I think I am able to do that. Especially the older I get, the better I am at interacting with people. And I think I'm getting to the point where I leave people better off than they were when they came in my life. And so I get that, and then they change other people. So if anything, that's the kind of legacy I want to leave behind, but I don't want my name on it. I want people to be like, oh, okay, I did this. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember who taught me to try to be a better person and treat other people better, but I'm going to do that, and I'm going to teach these other people. That's as far as I want to go, but I don't need my name on anything. I do not have that kind of ego.
Well, you wrote a children's book, so you are leaving a legacy.
Regardless. You know, and I hope to leave some more. Okay, fine. Any book that I write, I want to be left behind. but it's,
okay, no, I got you. It was still a good answer, even though, you know, you're denying. Do you want to do more books? Like, was this a great process for you?
When I was in Italy, I was actually doing my third book idea, which was basically a travel puppet. Well, I know dad can lay it down. Dad can do it. Dad.
Well, I would love a series of why dad can't do different things.
Yeah,
why dad can't pick up after himself. Like,
this. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, that would be funny. Yeah, that would be like, remember that movie I Am Sam where it's like the dude was like, you know, on the Braxton Hicks scale and is that the right one? And then the daughter was 5 and taking care of him.
Yeah,
no, I'm not living that life. I hate anything that act like dads aren't smart or dads are dumb. Mm-hmm. I don't like that stuff.
Right.
Which is why it's a deceptive title, but that's the title that I chose based on my comedy.
Yeah.
So it's like, I had to do that. But my other, I have another kid's book that I'm working on, and it's basically over a kid's game that I used to do with my son. You know, kids were like bored in the car. Are we there yet? You know? And it's like, oh, almost there. You know, after a while I was just like, yeah, we're there. We're there. He's like, no, we're not. Then what are we doing if we're there, Dad? You know, and then I'd make up some TV, I'd repeat some TV show. And that was the game. And then he thought he got a kick out of that. And it wound up being a distracting thing while we were driving. So instead of, you know, playing the kids' songs and all that kind of stuff, that's what we do. Are we there yet? Yeah. Then what are we doing? Okay, and then I repeat whatever TV show that I can remember. You know, but so the book is going to be off of that. You know, are we there yet?
I love this. I can't wait to see more of this juxtaposition between the Amos dirty comic and the Amos children's author. That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it is different. And then this other book is Traveling Puppet. So when I was in Italy, I was everywhere I was at, I had this puppet out in front of the Colosseum, in front of, you know, so then I'm going to have pictures of that, all my good pictures, and then whatever about whatever, you know, and then I'm just going to put that out. and that's going to pay for my trip.
Nice.
It's just the hustle. But I do have what I'm going to try to do, a novel. And that is going to be based off of basically this dream that I had. It's basically a time travel story. And I'm not going to talk about because I don't want anybody to steal the idea. But it's a time travel book, and it's just a way that nobody's dealt with it that I know of anyway.
One of my favorite genres.
I can't wait to get into it. And it's hard because it was all. And I've had the consecutive dream. I've had the dream several times where it's like I'm the time traveler and I go back in time and I change stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but not like, you know, the big world changing stuff. Just a little bit. I think it's a phenomenal idea and I'm excited about it, but it's like, I need to read more. Because there's a book called The Writer's Journey that I'm reading, and it's like, you know, just how you build the character building kind of thing.
Yeah.
World building. So it's like, I don't want to overwhelm myself, but I want to get it done right.
Yeah.
And So I'm definitely going to be doing more writing, and I look forward to
having you back to promote those as well.
I would love to be the black and a half.
I wish I had it on sooner. You know what's funny? Because we used to do them in person. Like, so that was, we were
when,
always.
When was this?
Well, we were pre-COVID. That's why it was so limited.
I don't even remember it so long ago.
I know. But it was in person, so I was always just trying to get people that were there locally, who's around that can come tonight, like who will do it. And now I'm like, we can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Because now we're all used to this. Because when I first did it, like our fifth episode, I did a remote one and it was awful. It just felt disconnected. But now everyone's like comfortable on Zoom and Skype. So it's like, hey, this is it now.
Yeah.
I ain't going anywhere. Also, I don't work at the place we used to record anymore, so I can't go there.
I didn't use the studio that I got free. We got to do what we got to do.
You know what you got to do. But yes, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thank you, Samantha. Congratulations on the new baby. That's got to be fantastic. Even though there's not an age that I don't love my son, but back in those days, it was a lot of fun just holding my own infant, not somebody else's, mine. It was great, you know, just feed them and stuff, and just we are bonded to this day.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway,
Black and a half.
Live long and prosper.